It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A quick heads up on our programming plans. We're expected to hear from the coronavirus task force briefing at 9:30 this morning, and we'll be carrying that briefing right here on the Ideas Network. That's coming up at 9:30. Right now, UW-Madison's Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene is taking in hundreds of coronavirus test specimens every day. The lab stayed open this past weekend, has more than tripled its capacity. Nationwide, as of this morning, almost 4,500 people have tested positive for COVID-19. Wisconsin yesterday reported 47 positive cases. Another 504 people have tested negative. Did you or someone you know get tested for COVID-19? How long did it take? When did you receive your results? What do you want to know about how the specimens are handled and what scientists are looking for? We're at 800-642-1234. Alan Bateman is Assistant Director of the Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. Alan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
So how are you keeping up with this demand of testing right now? What does your lab look like and feel like?
Yeah, things have definitely been busy. As of a week ago, we stated that we could relatively easily do 100 specimens per day. But since then, the number of specimens coming in has really ramped up a lot. So we are now a 7-day-per-week testing lab, and we've ramped up to be able to do 300 to 400 specimens a day.
Will you be able to go up any further with the staff you have right now?
So right now, staffing is not the main issue. We have a fantastic staff here that we're increasingly cross-training to be able to handle anything. It's really the reagents are a limiting factor right now, and we're looking to further increase the amount of specimens we can do per day as well.
How long does it take to test one specimen?
Great question. The current test we're using right now is the CDC developed test. It's the same one that they've had since mid-January or so, and it takes around 1 to 2 days from the time that the specimen gets to us. And I want to be clear about that, because sometimes, depending on where it comes from in Wisconsin, it takes a while to get to us. It could be overnight transportation.
Is there a possibility for any false positives in this work?
We have very strict quality control. So we have known positive controls and known negative controls, and everything must pass before we release any results. And we have an entire quality management system to ensure the highest quality possible.
These scientists, they're working really rapidly to test these specimens that you're getting in. Are lab workers at risk for exposure? Are lab workers at risk for fatigue?
Yes, we're definitely, we always have the safety of our microbiologists very first as our top priority, and we meet the CDC's criteria for biosafety, and we actually exceed it as well by using enhanced protection for our lab workers. And in terms of fatigue, we are keeping a close eye on that as well. We're kind of shifting around some hours to be able to increase the capacity, but we do have a fantastic team of scientists here to be able to pitch in and help out with this effort.
How closely are you working with the CDC on this, and how these test specimens are handled, and the protocol for what happens after a test is completed?
Sure. So yes, CDC developed this test and then rolled it out to us. We've been running for about 2 weeks now with this test. So we've been in routine contact with CDC since they developed it back in January. And in terms of the test, once the result comes out, we have an electronic system that automatically sends the results both back to the original submitting lab or submitting clinic, as well as to public health, so they immediately know the results, positive or negative. And then if it is positive, we treat that as a critical result, it's called, and we call the people to let them know right away that it's positive.
Are these specimens then stored somewhere or destroyed?
We do save an aliquot for a while, just in case there's an error in the testing and we have to go back to it. But we do have to destroy some residual, because we don't have space to keep every specimen from every test that we've ever done.
Well, let's take a call. Kelsey is joining us from Madison. Hi, Kelsey. What's your question?
Hi, thank you so much. I work in an assisted living facility that's connected to a skilled nursing facility. And I am also high risk, as I'm on immunosuppressants. So the two communities that everyone's trying to protect, which I very much appreciate. My question is, would someone test positive for COVID-19 before they are symptomatic? And if so, wouldn't it be prudent to test these populations like us that have to stay in a community setting before we're symptomatic in hopes that we might separate those that are infected?
Hey, thanks for your question. That is a very good question. I don't think I am the best placed person to answer it. I'm primarily focused on the lab and the test itself. In terms of who gets tested and the situations under that, that is best for your clinician as well as the Public Health Department, Division of Public Health.
Kelsey, thank you for the call. So, Alan, the test itself and the protocols that came down from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on this test in January, is this testing pretty straightforward? Is this something that your scientists have seen before on what they need to do, what your microbiologists need to do in the lab?
It's, for us, it's relatively straightforward because we do this type of testing a lot, but we have highly trained and highly capable and experienced microbiologists here. This test is not like a pregnancy test where one stick is for one person for one result. There are many different supplies and reagents that go into the entire test system, and it is deemed a high complexity test by the federal regulators who regulate us.
Do you have enough supplies and reagents on hand?
We have enough supplies and reagents for a while, but that's one of the pinch points right now. And the supply chains are not super strong right now, so we need to make sure that we use the supplies and reagents that we have wisely for the most high priority testing.
We're talking with Alan Bateman, Assistant Director of Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. Did you or someone you know get tested for coronavirus? How long did the process take? When did you receive your results? Did you know about the lab that processed it? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Alan, you're not the only lab in Wisconsin that is doing this testing. Can you tell us about your network?
Absolutely. So we and the Milwaukee City Lab started at the same time about 2 weeks ago, and we also have connections with every clinical microbiology lab around the country or around the state, and those are the labs that are in hospitals and in clinics, and we've been working with a few of the larger of those labs as they develop their own tests. We were able to help them out by sharing our known positive and known negative specimens with them, and then we also, in about maybe a month or potentially two, a lot of the manufacturers will have approval for their tests and then be able to massively scale up and roll those out. And that's the rest of those, maybe 60 to 80 labs around the state that will then be able to test. And we will stay in contact with them as well. So right now we're at a handful of labs. That'll grow to a couple more larger labs over the next week or two. And then hopefully within a month or two, there will be a lot more testing availability.
So will the testing steps and the protocols within the labs be consistent around the state, or will different labs go about this testing in different ways?
Some of it will be consistent, but there will definitely be differences in the testing. So one of the tests that was just approved, I think yesterday, the company is called Hologic. That's a bit of a different type of test. So it is more automated and less manual, so the throughput could be a bit higher with that. And there are, in addition to that, different approaches that different companies are taking.
Well, when you say the throughput could be higher, explain what you mean.
The number of specimens tested in a given time can be higher because it doesn't take quite as many manual steps for people to do.
All right. So it could probably handle higher volume. Have you heard anything, or is your lab involved at all in this ability to do drive-up testing? What have you heard?
Yes. So drive-up testing from the health system and the clinician's point of view definitely makes sense in what we've heard in terms of making sure that the sampling of patients who potentially have COVID is separated from hospitals and emergency departments so that transmission doesn't happen in those particular areas. In terms of the testing itself, the DHS, our partners, have recommended that it is recommended testing at commercial labs. There are large national commercial labs that are also online now. And one other thing with the drive-up testing, it's actually at this point drive-up sample collection, mm-hmm. and then that sample gets sent somewhere to a centralized lab, whether it's a national commercial lab or somewhere else for testing.
Do we have these large national commercial labs in Wisconsin, or where is the nearest one?
There are four main ones. Mayo is the closest to us in Rochester.
Uh-huh.
There's one called ARUP in Utah, and then there are two very large ones called Quest and LabCorp that have multiple different locations around the country.
When you look at the supplies and the reagents, are these supplies and reagents and that supply chain, is that domestic? Are these supplies coming from the U.S., or are you needing to get these from other countries?
That's a good question. I don't know offhand exactly if all of them come from the U.S. I think it would depend on the company and depend on the particular supply. The important thing for us is that we need each one of those supplies and reagents in order to do the test. So the best analogy I can think of is in baking cookies, where you need each of the ingredients. And if you don't have sugar, you can't make very good cookies. And if you don't have eggs, you also can't. So we need each of those ingredients to be able to do these tests and produce the results.
What about the cost? We're hearing that the cost will be waived for people who do need testing, who ultimately get tests. And I know you're in a lab situation, but what are the costs that are being incurred?
That's a good question. We have right now, we are doing fee-exempt testing. So at the state lab, it is fee-exempt. And typically what happens in emergencies like this is we are public health and we respond, and then we are reimbursed later at the state and or federal level. So we do not plan to have people pay for this test under public health. If things go to a commercial lab or to another clinical lab, they may have their own payment structures.
We're talking about the lab testing for COVID-19 samples that is now a 7-day operation at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. Alan Bateman is Assistant Director of the Communicable Disease Division. Have you been to a doctor recently for a respiratory illness? How did your health provider address your concerns? What do you want to know about how test samples are handled and the process of testing? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Alan Bateman here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're talking about the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene processing test specimens for COVID-19. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Wisconsin has reached 47, and the state hygiene lab is receiving several hundred lab specimens a day, ramping up testing to a 7-day-a-week operation, as we're learning. What do you want to know about turnaround time on test results and where specimens go? What do you want to know about the testing itself and the science involved in this, the microbiology? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Alan Bateman stays with us. He's Assistant Director of the Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene. Let's take another call now. Mary Kay is with us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, I have three questions. The first one is, if you were to get a positive result on a test and you isolate yourself for 14 days, would you have an immunity to COVID? That's the first question.
Well, let Alan address the first question. What about immunity? Can you get COVID-19 again?
I think it's a little too early to know for sure. The science on this is rapidly evolving. Every day we learn more. And initially, there were a few reports, I forget exactly where, worldwide, that potentially people were positive and then tested negative and then tested positive again. But there have been some questions about if that negative in the middle was really true or if the person was positive the whole time. So I'd say at this point, it's not really known. But in general, there is some immunity, but depending on the virus, that immunity can wane over time.
Mary Kay, just pause right here. I want to ask here, what have you learned from scientists in Italy and in China from their processing of tests?
We've learned that that automating things as much as possible and scaling up as much as possible is the goal, and that is exactly what we're doing. We're working daily to try to increase our capacity as much as possible. I think on the more public health side, we've definitely learned from China that the public health measures to keep people apart and attempt to stop transmission appear to have worked for now in China, which actually is really good news. And I think that's why similar things are being implemented now, both in Europe and in the U.S.
Let's bring Mary Kay back with a second question. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
If homes and businesses were to have those clean air machines with the filters that supposedly screen viruses, would that help?
Clean air machines, Alan?
That's a good question. I don't know offhand. It would depend on the filter. So inside the lab, we use biosafety cabinets, they're called, that have filters that can filter things out, like that are as small as viruses. But it would depend on the filter, and I wouldn't necessarily think that it would be a huge advantage to have those clean air machines. But I do not know at this point.
Mary Kay, thanks. Let's go to Matt now in Viroqua. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
What's your question?
So, yeah, my wife and I are avian testers for the state of Wisconsin and state of Minnesota. So we do tests for, you know, other diseases that are communicable in, you know, livestock. But we've had trouble getting our reagent for, like, the last 18 months. So the state health departments have had trouble rolling that to us. Does that have any connection to kind of this supply problem that exists right now with COVID?
It may or may not. We haven't had a huge supply and reagent problem until recently, and I think that's because the huge demand has increased a lot, and that is from across the board. So all state health departments or state health labs, as well as a lot of the clinical labs and commercial labs, are all ordering similar things from manufacturers. And there are different manufacturers, but none of those manufacturers can immediately scale up to way more than usual. So that's why the supply chains currently are a little limited.
Matt, thanks. We're talking with Alan Bateman, Assistant Director of Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene. It's one of the facilities testing specimens for COVID-19. You're part of the discussion here, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about testing? Join in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We heard from Tim from Luck. Halden couldn't stay with us. Tim wonders if you had COVID-19 2 weeks ago, would you still test positive because there are antibodies that are still in your system?
That's a good question, and I would like to clarify that this test identifies the virus itself. So there are different types of tests, some that look for the virus and some that look for antibodies. And this one looks for the virus itself. So you could test positive a couple weeks after, but that would mean that the virus, or at least the virus's nucleic acid, the RNA, the genome part of the virus, is still around. People are developing antibody-based tests, and those will be very important in the future to see how many people truly are getting infected, because right now we know the people who have the virus, but we might be missing people who are asymptomatic or don't get tested.
Alan, help us understand how this virus morphs and changes. What do we know about its life cycle and how it can reinvent itself?
So most viruses, and particularly ones that have RNA and not DNA, so this one has RNA, they can mutate a little faster. So we're tracking that pretty closely, and so far it seems like there actually hasn't been all that many mutations in the virus since it emerged from China. But there's a lot of recent technology in past years that have allowed very rapid sequencing, which is our ability to look at the virus's genome and to compare across all different viruses from around the world. And we're not seeing all that much variation yet.
Okay, so what's coming into your lab are pretty usual suspects here. You're seeing a lot of consistencies about your specimens.
Yes, so the viruses that have been sequenced worldwide are very similar to each other.
Okay.
And the specimens that we test seem to be pretty similar as well.
And the specimens, once again, they're coming to you from around Wisconsin. Are there any specimens coming from outside our state?
At this point, we're pretty sure it's just Wisconsin, because each state has their own state lab.
Uh-huh.
And that's where this testing is happening at each state.
What is your toughest challenge right now, Alan? What are you grappling with?
Right now, it's the supply of the reagents and supplies that we're trying to look at larger platforms to be able to scale up. But as soon as we think about one platform. We contact that company and they say, yeah, sure, we can get your reagents in a month from now. So then that one's not an option. So we're looking at many different options, both with companies as well as we're in routine contact with the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, to be able to figure out how best to ramp up while we have this finite amount of supplies and reagents.
When was the last time you had to reassign your scientists in your lab to say, hey, we have an emergency here, we need you to come over and do this?
The last major time we did that was back in 2009 with the influenza pandemic. And the model there that we used of shifting people's hours around and cross-training people to be able to do the test, so we have more people than usual that are able to do the test, that worked really well then, and it seems to be working quite well right now as well.
So when you're cross-training people, that involves two people being together in a close proximity because they're working on the same specimen. Do you have concerns about that?
We are doing our best to keep people apart as much as possible, but there are times during the testing here where people can't stay exactly 6 feet apart, but we are doing our absolute best to do the social distancing while we do the important work, the necessary work that we need to do.
How often are you in contact with the CDC and new recommendations coming down for testing? What is communication like right now?
There's communication almost every day, both from CDC as well as our organization, APHL, the Association of Public Health Labs, and things are changing rapidly. Almost every day, things change in terms of what the guidance is, which specimen types we can use, how exactly to result things. So we really need to stay on top of everything that's moving, and it's a very rapidly evolving situation and continues to.
Well, Alan, thank you for making time for us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Alan Bateman is Assistant Director of the Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. A quick note on our programming. We are working to bring you more conversations about COVID-19. We want to answer your questions. You can always call during the live program, or you can leave us a message at any time of day at 833-424-3327. That number again, 833-424-3327. Be sure to mention your name and city, by the way, like Kate from Madison, so we can thank you on the air. Just ahead, we discuss coping mechanisms for dealing with the anxieties of isolation. We also talk about ways to stay connected with family and friends while practicing social distancing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.